In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Romans 6. Let's turn to Romans 6, and we'll be looking at verses 15, and I plan to get to the end, verse 23. So Romans 6, 15 through 23. Now, what we've been seeing here in chapter 6, the glorious truth that the Spirit has been revealing to us so abundantly clear and wonderfully, is that sin no longer has dominion over believers. You that believe Christ and trust Him, sin no longer has dominion over you. So that our justification and our sanctification, both things are accomplished for us and in us by Jesus Christ. It's to the glory and praise of Jesus Christ that we are both justified and sanctified. It's His will, it's His power, it's His work in us. And so we're given promises here in this chapter. There's a number of promises, but the one that I just wanted to call your attention to before we move on is found in Romans 6, verse 14. Verse 14, where we see this is a promise. For, he tells us, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. All right? He's promised us sin's not going to have dominion over you because God has taken you out from under law and He has placed you under grace. You're now in the kingdom of grace of His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? So, the Spirit of God's proof, God, what He's declaring to us, the proof that He's given to us, which we are to receive by faith, right? Which we do receive by faith, is that now we're delivered from that law. It's got nothing more to say to us, and we stand before God in grace. All right, so to put your trust now under the law, to go back to the law, whether it's for justification or for your sanctification, right? Because there are some, even today, that go back to the law and think it's by our good works that we're justified. And then there's some that say, well, no, I know that we're justified by Jesus Christ, but they still go back to the law and submit their necks under the law for sanctification, to have a holy life, to have an improved walk with God by their works under the law of Moses. But to do that is to submit yourself back to the law of sin and death. It's to go back to those things which are given for sin, and because the people are dead and have no knowledge of the true and living God. And so if you do that, what the Lord's showing us is that you're not hearing the promise that God has made to His people in Jesus Christ, that He is all our salvation. But for believers in grace, those who have been established by Jesus Christ in grace, we've yielded our members to Christ unto righteousness. We're now His. We've submitted to Him. We've now obeyed from the heart that doctrine which the Lord has delivered to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So now that Christ is now our hope, He's our righteousness, He's what we glory in, who we glory in, and not in the law and ourselves, okay? Now, this is all done for us, as we know it, but I'll say it again, this is done for us not because of any works of righteousness that we did. Right? If you heard when you were young growing up that God helps those who help themselves, no. We have a desire to hear the Lord. We only have a heart and an ear for the Lord because the Lord has given us a heart and given us an ear to hear him. It's because the Lord has been first gracious to us long before we're ever thoughtful or mindful of the Lord himself. So anyone who challenges this truth, that it's not the law that has any part of our holiness, it's not the law, but Christ, anyone that would challenge that, Paul addresses them in verse 15. All right, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. So in one sense, what he's saying there, and I don't want us to miss this, is we've not been saved to sin. That's not why God has saved us. And we should be mindful of that, because what we do in the flesh, what we say, what we do, the things that we practice, they do reflect the gospel that we believe, right? And so if we're careless with the blessings that we have in Christ, people are going to stumble over that, right? They're going to see, well, they don't care about sin. Now, there are some things that they're going to say is sin, which isn't, which we are delivered from, and we know that. But those things that the Lord reveals to us and teaches us are sinful and wrong, don't practice those things. We shouldn't practice those things. And that's not law to say that. We see clearly in the New Testament that there are just some things that believers are not to do. We're saved from those things. Why should we go back to those things? But be mindful that we're not saved by grace just so we can do whatever the flesh lusts for, because the flesh still lusts for things. It's going to have a desire for things that are not profitable. Not profitable, don't adorn the gospel of Christ, and we ought not to do them, because people will stumble over those things, and they'll judge the gospel you believe, they'll judge you, they'll judge me, and they judge Christ, because they say, well, that can't be the truth, so let me go to the law, where they're disciplining people, and because that seems to be the only way that people can do that which is right before God. And that's not true. That's contrary to the gospel, because the promise of God is that you shall walk by faith. That doesn't mean your flesh isn't still weak and fighting you every bit of the way. But we believe God that we are justified now, though we don't see it in the flesh, and we yield by the power of his Spirit, we yield our members to him. And we'll talk about that a little more as we go on. All right, so the other thing, though, is that there are religious people that would challenge the truth of what Paul is declaring here. They say they're in agreement with Paul, but they are not in agreement with Paul. They're still trusting in the law. And so they challenge that a man is saved by grace. And so ultimately, what religious people in the flesh, the carnal man, because it's carnal, it's every bit as carnal as the person just living as they would want to live in the deadness of the flesh, ultimately, those that trust in the law, it's by their good works that they are righteous. It's by the things that they do and their discipline and their focus and their laser focus and vapor lock on the law to do what the law says. They think that's their life and that's their holiness and acceptance with God. And so the Spirit has to teach us that, because it's either the root of our good works is either the law or it's Christ, and it's got to be Christ. Because if it's of the law, then it's of sin and death. It's just coming from the flesh, and it's not by the work of God in us, all right? Now, we're reminded throughout what Paul says is, we're so confident in Christ that we preach him, all right? 2 Corinthians 3:4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, or such trust have we toward God through Christ, all right? We're so confident that Christ has satisfied God and is able to keep us, that we preach him. We're preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, believing that he is able. And so we don't speak of his grace and then yet have our confidence in the law and trust that, because that'll be found to be what it is, nothing but a work of the flesh. And we can do that. Even believers, there's times where we are like ignorant brute beasts and we do sin. All right, and we need to be delivered from that. And there are times where we are ignorant and we trust in the law and we think, I've got to get, straighten this thing out now. And we think maybe this is by the law. And we do some things that we ought not to do in the law. And the Lord's got to save us from that, because it's ever going to be a walk by the Spirit of God in you that keeps us. If you sin, if you need help, you cry out to Christ. You cry out to the Father and say, Lord, save me and teach me. Deliver me from this. And he will. And there will be times where you will know it's painful in the flesh, but if it's got to go, the Lord will do it. He'll do it. I can testify to it that he'll do what he needs to do to keep you ever looking to Christ, ever coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And so, what's troubling about the lawman, what's troubling is that they would say to us, you put far, far too much confidence in Jesus Christ. You're putting way too much confidence in Christ. If you think that Christ can save you and you don't need the law, you're putting far too much confidence in Christ. And that's what they're saying. And you can hear it. That just rings foul and awful. That's false. Can we ever put too much trust in Christ? Can we ever trust him too much? If you have his Spirit, you're not going to walk in sin and live in sin. He's going to keep you. He's going to deliver you from those things that you ought not to do. All right, so there's things that we ought not to do, but don't be turned to the law for your righteous living. Be turned to Christ. Be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an example of those that lived by the law and were so faithful to the law. And what did they do? They rejected the Lord of glory and crucified him. By the law, that's what they did. They hated Christ. And they hate Paul. And they hate grace. And they hated the true living God, so that they crucified him when they had the chance. They stoned Paul. They did many, you know, they beat him many times. They persecuted him all over the place. And it's happened for many believers throughout by those that are religious and good moral people. They've persecuted those of grace, all right? So don't trust the law for your life, because the strength of sin is the law. That's why the law was given, because of sin. So don't do those. Don't sin, and then don't trust the law, because you don't have any part in that body. The Lord's delivered us from that. You look to the law, and it works enmity in the flesh. It just stirs up wrath and enmity, and you'll be biting and devouring. And when you think you're somebody, and you think you've arrived, how much more do you judge your brethren, right? And you look down on others, and you think, you're the cause of me stumbling now. How dare you do what you're doing, you know? And so, don't look to the law, look to Christ. Because even when the Lord delivers you from something, you know what you are. You're still ashamed when you think of those things, and you look at your brethren with love and patience and long-suffering, rather than, you need to stop that. You need to stop doing that. That's not how we want to be. Our title is God Be Thanked. God Be Thanked. All right, so let's first look at whose servants we are. In Romans 6:16, we read, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?" So the question Paul's asking here is, who do you serve? Who do we serve? If Christ is our Lord, who is it that we serve? All right, we, by faith, believe that God has saved us by grace. Well, then yield your members, yield yourselves, the things that God has given you, yield them unto righteousness, to serve our Lord in righteousness. And what it means is that we trust God, our hope is in God, in his Son Jesus Christ, for justification and for sanctification. And as we've seen, there are some that claim to believe in the grace of God, and they confess that Christ is their justification, but they're still being turned back to the law for sanctification, for how to live, forgetting what Paul said, that the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I live. That's my sanctification, is Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my life here. And so to yield our members now back to the law means that we're obeying the law of sin and death. We're going back under the law which was given to constrain the flesh. All right? And so our righteousness is either found in the obedience that God has given us and worked in us unto grace, or it's found in the obedience unto sin and death and the law. All right? That's what we're still trying to battle it in the flesh, and it ain't going to work. But in grace, it's all satisfied. It's promised to us. It's done in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So you either put to death the lusts of your flesh by the flesh, which we know cannot work, or we put them to death by the Spirit of grace, which is promised to us in Jesus Christ. And I know, you know, what religion does is they mask it. They put nice, beautiful terms on law keeping, right? They say, this is good. This is goodness. This is morality. This is righteousness. But God doesn't call it that. That's not what they're doing. If they kept it perfectly, sure. But by looking to those things for their righteousness, they're not hearing what the law says. And they're forgetting Christ. And they're not trusting that at all. They're trusting in their works of righteousness. They're trusting in the flesh. And Paul didn't trust in the flesh. And so they're not in agreement with Paul. And they're not in agreement with what Christ has revealed. They don't see their need of Christ, whatever they say. But what does the Lord say? Well, one thing we know, that the law isn't wicked. I'm not saying that the law is wicked. The law itself is good. And that's what Paul told to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Right? If it's used lawfully, it's good. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. And Christ has made you that believe him. He's made you righteous. So what does the law have to do with you anymore? You died to it. You are literally dead to the law. It's got nothing more to say to you. All right? When we were under the law, when we were yet in that body of sin, and here it is. But the law is made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. All right? And the sound doctrine that's been delivered to us is that I'm a sinner and cannot save myself. I can't look to the law for my justification. I can't keep looking to the law now for sanctification because I died in Christ. I've been delivered from that. That's sound doctrine. I'm a sinner, unable to save myself, but that's exactly why the Lord sent his son, Jesus Christ. And so it's either all of Christ or it's all the law. They're what's called, they're mutually exclusive. It's one or the other, not a mixture of both. One or the other. And so it's grace. We're preaching and declaring grace. It's under grace that God deals with you now, and that he has promised you these things, that he has made you acceptable in his sight, justified you by the blood of Jesus Christ. His death delivered you, freed you from the condemnation of sin, and now he gives you his Spirit whereby you know him and walk and believe him. All right? But if you try to go back to the law to deliver yourself and set yourself free from sin, you're just walking in the flesh, all right? And so what happened? What happened to your faith in Christ then? If you're looking back to the law, what happened to faith in Christ? Why did it end? Why did you cease doing those things and trusting in those things? So Paul says in Galatians 5:1, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Right? Now, Paul, in the context there, was speaking of circumcision, and he equates that to being justified. You that are circumcised, he's saying you're looking to the law for your justification. You're still doing that. But the truth is the same, that if anyone thinks that they're to look to the law for their instruction for life, they're trusting in the law. Right? They're saying, I can't be saved except I look to the law, except I trust. If that's what you're saying, if you're trusting that I've got to now look to the law, that that's my rule of life, that that's part of your salvation, that's part of your hope of holiness and righteousness, and then it ceases to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It ceases to be about sanctification at that point, and now it's back to being justification by the law. If the law is required for you in any part of your holiness, then it is justification. You're still trusting that it has something to do with your standing before God, and that's part of your justification. So if you would be sanctified, though, if you would walk faithfully before the Lord and walk before Him in being sanctified, looking to Him and trusting Him, then believe the promises of God. Believe what He says concerning Christ. Trust Him. Grow in that. Grow in the knowledge of what He's declared to you in the promises of Jesus Christ. Right? And Paul says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Right? It's impossible if you're walking in the Spirit. And when those thoughts and the lusts arise and they come up, it's the Spirit that puts it down. It's the Spirit that says, no, I don't want that. I don't want to go and do that. As they still come up, they still go through, they pass through the mind. You think of these things, and you know what you've done. You remember things, and you're just ashamed of those things. So don't dwell on those things. And you're not going to put them away by the effort of your flesh. Just put them behind you and keep walking by faith, ever looking to Christ. That what He has said concerning Christ in you, that's what it is. Believe Him and stand there. Because if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It's so clear. If you're under the Spirit, you're a righteous man. What is the law for? It has nothing to say to you any longer. And so that's for those people yet in the body of sin. Right? Yet there in the body of sin. Because if you won't receive the truth of Christ, if you won't receive what God has revealed to His people by faith, then there is nothing for you but the law, which is sin and condemnation. This is the law. Get ready, because the wrath of God's coming, and He's going to destroy all those that are sinners and workers of iniquity. So that's all that there is left for those in the body of sin. If you don't hear Christ and His grace, that's all you got is the law. And you're going to perish under the law. All right? So Paul, by the Spirit, he trusted wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wasn't turned from Christ, and he never yielded back to the law. He ever continued in Christ. And that's why in Philippians 3:9, he says, and it's so beautiful, he says there in Philippians 3:9, that I may be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want any part of that law righteousness. I don't want one stinking part of it. I want to be found in Christ, having His righteousness alone, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The whole of your righteousness, brethren, is in Christ. And we see that and know that and believe it by faith. By faith. That's how He communicates it to us. So to those that are looking back to the law for something, what more do you need? Why don't you hear Christ? Why don't you trust and believe Him? How is it that He's shown Himself insufficient for your needs to deliver you from the lust of your flesh now? All right? Paul tells us plainly in Galatians 5:5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We believe Him. We're walking in faith, trusting that everything necessary is in Christ. So our sanctification, actually what Paul is revealing in Romans 6, that our sanctification is wrapped up, tied intricately to Christ's resurrection. It really is. That our life now, the life we live, is directly tied to Christ's resurrection from the dead. And that's what he says there in Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, because we died with him, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see how he's tied that? That resurrection now, Christ's resurrection, reveals to us the promise of God that we in Christ will now walk in newness of life. We'll have his Spirit revealed to us. The Spirit reveals what we need to know of him, and the Spirit's life and power is revealed in us all by faith, all by his work and power, apart from what we do or don't do. He's doing what he's going to do with you. He's ordained works for you to walk in, and you shall walk in them. And you shall bear fruit of your husband, Jesus Christ. So as Christ was raised by the power of God, that is the same power that now works and lives in you, brethren, whereby you know these things and believe him. And you hear this and you're encouraged by these things because he's the one who lays it to your heart. He's the one who gives it to you by his power and glory and faith in Christ. And that's what Paul meant. If you want to know, wow, Paul, what did you mean when you said in Philippians 3:10, this is what he meant, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's so tied to his resurrection. It's the promise that you too shall now live in Christ, right now having his Spirit to know him, whereby you hear and believe him. And that's why Paul said, I want to know this power. I don't want to know what the law says to me, how the law yokes and binds me. I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, right, Lord, whatever it's got to be, that I may know you more and more, and being made conformable unto his death. That takes the power of the Spirit, because once you've been tried, once the Lord has given you faith and he tries that faith, you see, Lord, I need you every hour. Because I'm weak for this thing. I can't do this. I've got no power or strength of myself. And yet, by faith, not only will we want to walk, but we're willing, we're made willing. Lord, whatever it's going to be for me that you've ordained for me, Lord, I'll go. Keep me, Lord. Keep me going, but keep me, Lord. Don't leave me. Don't leave me to myself. Like Moses said, Lord, if you go not up with us, don't send us. But if you'll go with us, Lord, we can go. We'll go then. Help us, Lord. Right? And so we're to hear the word of promise. Here's another one in Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's all tied there. If you're justified of Christ, you shall be sanctified of him. Right? Otherwise, maybe I don't want to get off track, but so we serve one or the other, right? No man can serve two masters. You're either serving our Lord by grace, or you're serving him, or you're serving the law, the body of sin still in the law. You can't serve, right? It's not going to be law under grace, and it's not grace under law. It's one or the other. You're either serving in grace, or you're trying to still serve him through the flesh by the works of the law. And so I'm sure that there's some that won't like that comparison, but Paul makes it very clear to us that we're not under both. It's one or the other. And he says you're not under the law, but under grace. All right? So it's not stacked on each other. It's one or the other. There's no stacking. I don't care which one you put first. It's still, there's no stacking. It's one or the other. They're mutually exclusive. All right, and the thought, I mean, if you need the threats of the law and the whipping and beating of punishment to force you to do what you don't want to do, then, you know, what do you trust in him? What do you believe in? You're not hearing what the promise says in Christ. And Paul used very strong language there in Galatians 5:4. He said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. And he's talking about justification and sanctification constantly throughout that epistle. It's how we live, that sanctification. We live by him, all right? So it's God's glory and power. And then we're told In verse 17, this is the next verse 17, but God be thanked. God be thanked. It's not of your flesh. It's of the Lord. This is of his grace and mercy. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Right? This is you that serve him and know him by grace. We're thankful to God because he's the one that's delivered this to us. And so we bow before God and we give him glory and thanks. Look at Romans 6:13. Here he says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, I don't believe I brought this up last week when we were going through that, but I think this is a help. This will be a help to you to hear that word. That word yield, do you know what that word yield means? It means to present oneself. That's what the word means. It means to present oneself. It's like when Paul says in Romans 12:1, present your bodies. And it also means to stand at the ready. You see, we're not anything in this. You're the servant of one or the other. You're either the servant of God or you're the servant of sin. And so he says, yield, present your bodies. It's like when Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on the throne in all his glory. And he said, I'm undone. Woe is me. I'm a sinner. I've got unclean lips. And after the angel, the seraphim, took the live coal off the altar and touched his lips and said, there, you're clean now. All your sins are put away. Then he heard the Lord said, Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And what did he say? He didn't run off and say, I'll do it. He didn't just go and do it. He said, Lord, here am I. Send me. He was made to stand at the ready. He was yielded to the Lord. He couldn't do anything. The Lord had to send him. And that's what that word, what Paul's saying is, present yourselves to the Lord. You're a servant of one or the other. So present yourself to the Lord. Lord, use me. I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know how to do it or be faithful, but Lord, make me faithful. And let me walk before you, serving you and your people and your kingdom. So that helps when you see it that way. It's to stand at the ready. You can't do anything. I can't do anything, but he can. And it's just think of Isaiah when you forget about it. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Why not me? And he's going to prepare you for that. He's going to do things that strip you of the flesh and he'll give you the graces and the fruit that you need to bear. He does it all, right? It's all of him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Right? It's all to his glory and praise, all right? So, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but now you're the servants of righteousness. Lord, I don't want to do those things. I'm tired of those things. I don't want to sin. I don't want to keep doing those things. I don't want to love the things that the world loves. I don't want to walk in the way that the world walks. But Lord, I need you to do it. I need your spirit to do that. All right? And then it says, and ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And the reason why we've obeyed from the heart is because it's his work. Otherwise, we wouldn't obey from the heart. All right? So, it's not our works. Romans 5:11 says, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Right? He's the one that atoned. It's his blood. It's his power. He's justified us, and he rose again, and it's his spirit whereby we live and walk in him. All right, so let's conclude this, and we'll go through these last verses here. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now that's all been covered in pretty good detail, and what he's saying there is you've been delivered from sin's dominion. Now you have the Spirit of Christ. Right? We're not like those men in Ephesus who only heard of the baptism of John. Said we don't even know whether there be such a thing as the Holy Spirit. You've heard He's promised us his spirit. You have a spirit whereby you believe and follow him. You have his spirit now and are become. Lord, use me. Teach me. Instruct me and send me, Lord, all right? And so we're free now to serve God without threat and fear of punishment and worrying that, you know, I'm just going to mess it up. The Lord helps you. You will mess it up. I mess it up. But it's the Spirit. We trust him to do all things well. And so we follow him. All right? And so it's a work of his grace and not of the flesh. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, present your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. So he's just giving a disclaimer. I know you're weak, he's saying, brethren. I know you're weak and you have nothing in your flesh. And so I'm trying to just explain these things to you in a way that we hear it and understand these spiritual things, because it's the Spirit that gives them to us. And he makes us to understand them more and more as he grows us in Christ. All right? And then the flesh is unable. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. All right? Free from the knowledge of the truth. That's why Paul speaks of knowledge, because he is making these things known to us, what Christ has done in us and accomplished for us, what he is doing. He's making this known to us. That's why we grow. We don't know all things. We're constantly coming to Christ. All right, and then Paul asks, verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. All right, when we labored in the flesh, under religion even, we had no fruit in righteousness. It was just dead fruit, stinking fruit of the flesh. And it didn't profit anybody. It wasn't anything to boast in. And now, you know, when we think of these things, you know, whether recently or long in the past, we're ashamed of those things, right? What we thought was good and what we thought was evil, we're ashamed when we think of the folly in our minds, right? And I'm ashamed to think of the things I thought were fine, that I could just do. I don't like thinking about those things that I thought was fine for me to do, things that are sinful and things that are shameful now to me. And the doctrines I held and the things I said to people. I can still remember things I've said to people thinking I knew the truth. And now when I think about it, I think, oh, I'm so ashamed that that ever came out of my mouth. And I thought that and did that and said this thing. I'm ashamed. But what can I do? I can't do anything about those things. Like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I now look to Christ and I press toward the mark. I press to him and look to him. All right? Because the end of those things is death. I don't even want to go back there and look to those things. All right. Verse 22 and 23. Here we are turned to Christ, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Believe it. That's his promise. You are justified in Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So under the law, brethren, we had what was coming to us. The wages of sin is death. That's what we had coming to us. Don't look to that. Don't put your trust there or go back to it. But under grace, there's no wages. We receive as a gift something we didn't earn, but we receive what Christ earned for all you his people that have no hope in yourselves and don't have any confidence in the flesh. You trust Christ. So you believe him. What your husband has earned for you, Jesus Christ, your husband, you believe him. And you trust him and thank God for it. Thank God for it. So I pray that studying that chapter was a help to me, going through the detail of chapter 6. And that's why I reviewed so much too, because I had to see it and understand it rightly. And as the Lord shows me more and helps me to see it more clearly, I'll gladly show it to you. And I pray that he does, because there is such confusion. I'm ashamed sometimes to think, how come I don't know these things more? There's so much confusion in religion about the law and grace. And I just want to see Christ and know him and the power of his resurrection and grow in him. So I pray, I trust that that's the heart he's given you as well. So, all right, let's pray and give thanks. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you know what we are in this flesh. And you know the weakness and the infirmity of our flesh. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy in Christ, that you may be gracious and kind to us and long-suffering with us, Lord, and that you've given us your Spirit whereby we hear this doctrine and we receive the sound doctrine of your gospel. Lord, we can't do anything in the flesh to make it more clear to us. Lord, we're ever dependent upon your Spirit to make these things known to us and to be received by faith and by your Spirit in us. Lord, teach us the truth of these things. Teach us, Lord, your Spirit and your truth in Jesus Christ. Help us to obey from the heart, the heart of the new man, your new creation of Christ in us, Lord. We pray that you would indeed have mercy and pour out your Spirit upon us. Help us to grow together as one body in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we would, Lord, be used of you. We have nothing and can do nothing, Lord, but we present our bodies to you and stand at the ready, Lord. Help us. Help us, because the flesh is so weak, but help us, Lord, to indeed go where you would send us and make us to stand upon the everlasting foundation, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name we pray and give thanks, trusting that you'll do all these things for us. Lord, look out upon your people, and you see our weaknesses, you see our struggles, Lord, you see our sicknesses and infirmities and the things which trouble our mind. Lord, we ask that you would comfort us. Let us not be troubled by the things we see and hear and feel in our flesh, but Lord, let us be comforted ever by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Our closing hymn will be number 334 out of the hardback. 334, Be Thou My Vision.
King of heaven. still be mine.